We're live. We're here in the Sweet James Studios, live in an undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation here and ready to go. Invigorated from a break. Thank you for letting me take some time off. I know it must have been hell on earth without a live show to get you through these troubled times. All right. The number, as usual, is 1-800-222-5222. Sam at samnation.com is the email. And let's get to it. Stuff's happening. And not just little stuff. I mean, you know, while we were all away enjoying our Christmas dinners and our furious holiday shopping, we had the tax deal come through, which it happened. They closed it. They made it. And one thing I can tell you from all of this is that getting this thing done was very important psychologically for Trump heading into this next year. So critical deal, because it shows that Trump and Congress can function. Now, Trump is not an inflexible, must-have-it-my-way guy, and Congress is not, irreparably anti-Trump. They can find common ground and they can get it done. And this means that there's hope for 2018 getting things happening and moving. Now, all of this is ancient history today with the Bannon deal. I'm going to explain. I'll give you the full rundown on that. But we also have the North Korea Trump tweet. Trump is taunting Kim Jong-un and the media is having an absolute mental break over it. Awesome stuff. I think one of the big stories in 2018 is going to be immigration. Immigration, immigration, immigration. The Democrats want DACA. They want deferred action for these children of illegal immigrants. They want no wall. They want nothing to do with it. You can see what's happening here in California with this ridiculous sanctuary state showdown. And I think that this is going to be one of those stories that last throughout the year. And I also think it's going to be very good for Trump. And I'll explain that a little bit later, probably at the start of the second hour here. Manafort today. Manafort sued Mueller and Rosenstein, the acting attorney general who appointed Mueller. This is an interesting thing. It all goes back to the original document that was signed by Rod Rosenstein. I've read it to you before. The document that appointed Mueller was very vague, basically gave Mueller an open general warrant to investigate any and all tangentially related crimes. So that suddenly kind of takes this Hoover vacuum to pick up anything of any kind of wrongdoing. And this is what Mueller's, the contention here is that it's overly broad. And he may have something here. You can't just open up a general fishing expedition into the lives of anybody involved with the campaign. It has to come back down to the reason for the original appointment. So the reason he's suing Rosenstein is because Rosenstein's the one who made the document originally brought. And the question, of course, is can you sue an acting attorney general? Of course you can. You can sue anybody you want. And unless there are specific immunities in play, which here there would not be because it goes directly to the reason this guy has an articulable harm, right? What's his harm? He got charged with multiple felonies and he's got his property tied up. He's facing jail time. So there's a harm there that for which he can seek redress. We'll see how that goes. We'll keep on top of that. And with all of that, also, we got Iran. Things are happening in Iran. Very exciting. I'll talk about that as the show unfolds. Now, The Bannon bomb today is nothing. Listen to me. It's nothing. It plays great for 10 seconds for all the Trump haters. Everybody out there welcomes any bit of bad news about the president. But it's absolute nothing. It is totally zilch, irrelevant, hot air. Let me explain. Okay. What happened here is there's an author The author, his name is Michael Wolff. He's not really an author. He's a journalist, so to speak. And his background is writing sort of investigative journalism into society figures and powerful men. He's obsessed. This guy goes back years, decades. He's obsessed with powerful men. But in some respects, this guy, and it's very important for the setup, you always have to understand who the guy is that's writing the material. I'm always interested, right? If somebody is writing a book and is in it, because none of this is, by the way, you've heard that Bannon has said X, Y, and Z. There's no audio of Bannon saying it. We are simply going, when you've heard that in the news, what's being reported is the New Yorker put out an excerpt from this book written by the journalist Michael Wolff, of no relation to our John Wolff, I believe. And this guy put out an excerpt of a book where he is citing or quoting Bannon. Now, I'm going to shock all of you with something. I really don't want to destroy any sensitive listeners out there. But you listen to me, you're probably not too sensitive. Here's the reality. Not everything that is written is true. So one of the things that we don't know yet is, did Bannon actually say this? Now, on the other hand, a few days ago, there were some whisperings about, you know, Bannon getting frustrated with Trump and calling him a child and that type of thing. But the basic idea here is that Bannon thinks that of Trump, right? He thinks that he's the one, he's responsible for making Trump who he is. He's the kingmaker. He's the guy who was, you know, behind the Trump insurgency and is responsible for the victory that landed Trump in the White House last November. In salacious tidbits from the book, I'll just give you a few here. You got to understand some of the stuff. This is why the anti-Trumpers are eating this up, by the way. They're loving it. They're just digging it up, lapping it up, like my two beautiful puppies who are growing, by the way. I'll tell you maybe a little bit more about that as we get through this. Trump apparently is in bed by 6:30 with the cheeseburger in hand. So picture that. Now, I have seen Trump out past 6:30. So it's probably not every night. And he doesn't always eat cheeseburgers, but apparently he loves to eat cheeseburgers in bed. He has three TVs on at once and he yells at them, right? Fake news, fake news. Melania Trump cried on election night. That's another one of his assertions. And the first lady put out a very forceful statement today saying, no, no, this is not true. I did not do any of this. Oh, Trump also yells at staff for picking up his shirts. If I wanted that shirt on the floor, it's there for a reason. Okay. And the most, I would say, you know, damaging thing here was the Trump Tower meeting. This is where the whole thing kind of broke open. Oh, yeah, this is where Trump, the guy says that Bannon says that basically there's no possible way that Trump didn't meet with these Russians and that the meeting was treasonous and something about money laundering, which even I didn't understand reading it, didn't make a lot of sense to me. Now, to me, this stuff, okay, let's put the cheeseburgers aside and let's put the crying first lady out of it and let's put, you know, Trump's laundry tantrums off to the side as well. The most important thing here is, and I think what a lot of media people are taking out of this, especially the left on the left, are saying, look, this is it. This is the smoking gun. Yes, we have it now. We have Bannon himself saying that Trump took a meeting with the Russians, committed treason, and laundered cash. My question, and the question you ought to be asking yourself almost instantaneously upon hearing that, is what? Well, shoot, if it was this surface level and it was hanging out in this Michael Wolff's drawer this whole time, how the hell did Manafort not get to it? I mean, backing up here a little bit, Mueller. Mueller had to, I got these too many M names. The special prosecutor had to indict Mueller, former campaign manager, indict Michael Flynn, get them facing jail time. And why have we been told this is happening this whole time? Why are we're told that you do this kind of thing, you charge people with lying, you know, with the FBI in hopes of turning them, in hopes of getting them to cooperate with your investigation, right? That's the reason for it. So Mueller is out there literally screwing people's lives up with felonies, lying to the FBI. I know. Look, he's already pled guilty, so he's guilty of it. But in Mueller, in Manafort's case, he's only been charged. But at any rate, none of these charges actually relate to anything having to do with Trump-Russia collusion. None. Some stupid lie that Flynn shouldn't have done. And Manafort, it's all, you know, BS stuff from 10 years ago. Nonsense. So why is Mueller doing it? Because that's all he has. And you're telling me that this gadfly of a journalist from New York City, from the Upper East Side, who has a fetish for powerful, rich men. No, I'm serious about this. He's obsessed with Rupert Murdoch. He's obsessed with Conrad Black. He's obsessed with all these. This is what he does. He did an expose on an AOL executive. Back when there was AOL. But anyway, this is what he does. And the only thing I can tell you that was stupid is that the Trump White House gave this guy unrestricted access following the election. And he sat down for something like 200 interviews with people inside the White House. Now, I'll tell you why I think it's stupid, because they should have done some research on it. This guy is an absolutely documented fabricator. Let me give you an example. There's a piece. I have it here. The New Republic. New Republic magazine. Back in 2004, they published a piece on Wolf Trapped. And they talk about sitting down with him and talking to him about a book that had come out. But here's what they said. The author writes, "Much to the annoyance of Wolf's critics, the scenes in his columns aren't recreated so much as created, springing from Wolf's imagination rather than from actual knowledge of events. Even Wolf acknowledges that conventional reporting isn't his bag. Rather, he absorbs the atmosphere and gossip swirling around him at cocktail parties on the street, and especially during those long lunches at Michael's," referring to a local hotspot eatery. Now, I say this because I don't know if Bannon said these things or didn't. Bannon's a hothead, and he's one of those guys that says probably a lot of stuff that isn't true or isn't relevant just when his mood shifts. But I can tell you that in an interview yesterday, I believe, this author was talking about that scene, that election night scene, about the first lady crying. You could tell she was not prepared. They weren't ready for it. You could tell that Trump looked like, and he goes, and you know what he says in the interview? He goes, look at this. Look at the picture. If you just look at the picture, it tells you everything you need to know. And you know what picture I'm referring to? When they're in Trump Tower, taking in the returns, and they're both looking up there. And I give you, she looks a little glassy-eyed. But it's huge. I mean, you just won Florida. You're on the path to becoming president and first lady. How would you react? Especially when the polls for weeks have been telling you that you got no prayer of winning. I don't know. I might get a little teary-eyed. And I think that this guy, a lot of it is going to turn out to be hot air. So, they're already talking about calling Bannon in. You got that Ted Lieu clip? This is our congressman here from California. This idiot already talking about calling Bannon in. Listen to this.
"Based on Bannon's explosive comments, as well as the president's inability to deny his characterization of the Trump Tower meeting, I'm calling on Congress to subpoena Steve Bannon to come testify. I believe Steve Bannon would welcome the opportunity to tell his story to America under oath."
That's a load of crap, because actually, Trump's blistering statement. Literally, if Trump wrote this about you, what he wrote about Bannon, your eyebrows would literally singe off of your face. So Ted Lieu, as per usual, is talking out of his hat. I'll read you excerpts of the statement here when we come back and tell you how this plays out. This is a big news story that's going away. And at the end of the day, you've got a book here that is going to sell. People are going to buy it. People are much more interested in the fiction of Trump than in the reality of it. And this is why his enemies will continue to lose to him, because they choose to believe the caricature. Very dangerous for them. But hey, you listen to this program, so you are up to speed on everything true. All right, we're back right after this. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. In more important news than Trump and Bannon, I've noted today that In-N-Out has changed its menu for the first time in 15 years. This is huge. And they've added hot chocolate. I'll tell you, so I'm not a hot chocolate drinker. But I was just texting with Sherry here a minute ago, and you know, she just told me my son was very excited about this news. So this, obviously, when they do something like this, you have to understand the amount of thought and the amount of research and planning that goes into it. It's not just we're going to do this. So they figured out that this is going to work. All right. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And as for Steve Bannon, Trump completely opposite to what was being asserted by Representative Ted Lieu, Democrat, California, that because Trump is not refuting any of what Bannon is saying, we must immediately bring Bannon in to testify to Congress of what he knows of Trump-Russia collusion. Actually, quite the opposite. Trump literally put out a seething, searing statement. It reads in part, Steve Bannon has nothing to do with me or my presidency. When he was fired, he not only lost his job, he lost his mind. Steve was a staffer who worked with me after I'd already won the nomination by defeating 17 candidates. That's true. Anyway, now that he's on his own, Steve is learning that winning isn't as easy as I make it look. Steve had very little to do with our historic victory, which was delivered by the forgotten men and women of this country. It goes on. It's brutal. Steve pretends to be at war with the media, which he calls the opposition party, yet he spent his entire time at the White House leaking false information to the media to make himself seem far more important than he was. All right. That's just an excerpt. Keith Fuffler, who is a Bannon biographer, said this on Fox News with Tucker Carlson just a couple hours ago. Listen to this.
What happened here is that the president issued a statement condemning an individual. I've covered the White House for 20 years. I've never seen that.
Right.
Maybe Osama bin Laden. Other than that, I've never seen an official presidential statement condemning an individual. The problem for Trump is this. He has basically declared war on Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon likes wars, and I think he's going to go for it. Little by little, he may end up picking apart Trump. And the problem for Trump is that Bannon is his conduit to the base, his best conduit to the base. If he loses Bannon, he cannot afford to lose a lot of the base. He may think he won the popular vote, but he didn't. The base is what elected him, and he needs Bannon to support him
and
in that.
Yeah, so wrong. This is exactly the kind of thing that is nuts. So take it from me. As a student of this past election, having been close to it, I'll tell you one very important thing. Trump's connection to his voters is Trump's and only Trump's. You've got to believe me on this. He made that connection with voters from the very first rally where he got up and laid out his vision for America. And Trump is exactly right in the statement. It had nothing to do with Bannon. It has nothing to do with anyone other than all the forgotten people who conventional politicians have left to rot. That's what this is all about. So, no, no, no. The answer to this is no. Trump does not need Bannon as a conduit to his base. Bannon's not a conduit to anything. Bannon was, in my opinion, highly effective for a period of time. But the guy's nuts. He's the kind of person, and we all know, it turns out, that he's the kind of person who's prone to emotional breakdowns. Matt Drudge today tweeted, "No wonder schizophrenic Steve Bannon has been walking around with a small army of bodyguards." Dot, dot, dot. All right. Now, this is all interesting stuff, but you're going to be ready tomorrow. You're going to be ready to talk to people about this because everybody thinks that this is big news. Now, you've got a disgruntled former employee who caused mayhem and trouble, who got booted and is now bitter, and who probably was misquoted and the story exaggerated by the guy who wrote the piece. That's the breakdown. Okay, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation. We got John Wolfe up next with the news.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. sam@samnation.com is my email. A puppy update. Bella and Rudy are doing great. These are our new dachshund puppies that are, I think, now 11 weeks old. 11 weeks. Yeah, and they are absolutely adorable. The only problem is that they pee on everything. You'd think they worked for MSNBC. I'm telling you, well, they're not even, no, the teething thing is a problem. You know, they've got sharp little puppy teeth, but they're small, thank goodness. You know, if you have a big puppy, it's a problem. They're like five, 6 pounds. The girl puppy, their personalities are different. He's a terrorist. But she's kind of she's a tough girl. So he'll like pick on her and jump on her and try to bite her ears. He does. He'll bite her ears. And then she springs into action, right? And Bella just will topple him, get on him, and just, you know, pin him down until he cries mercy. So it's fun. And they play endlessly. And I've never experienced this, really, because when we had Lucy for 12 years, you know, she was always by herself. I mean, with us, but, you know, and consequently, she was this dog. I don't know if you're a dog person and you know there's certain dogs out there who just really loathe the company of other dogs. They're anti-dog. It's like a self-loathing dog is what Lucy was. She thought she was people. I mean, you know, she'd look at a dog, what the hell is this? And she'd run up to the you know, dog owner and want love. I don't want to associate with that four-legged thing. I'm one of you. Well, so these dogs now have each other, and it's different. You know, every dog that you have, it's different. But I'll tell you, last night I was playing a little bit with both of them, and Bella, just the number of things that she did really reminded me of Lucy. They look completely different, but Bella's just a great personality. Rudy's got a great personality. They are, I mean, are we sleeping? No. Is every rug and every piece of bedding getting washed, 10 times during the week? Yes. Is it fantastic? Absolutely. Love it. Wouldn't trade it for anything. All right. So I'm just, I want to continue just for a little bit here on this Bannon thing, because it's fascinating to me. This book right now, it's going to be in the news for a number of days because there's going to be drip, drip, drips that come out of it. This is standard operating procedure, by the way, for how you sell a book. You take excerpts from the book, you publish those excerpts in a friendly publication, which in this case happens to be The New Yorker, a notoriously anti-Trump publication. At any rate, so, and it's going to come out. Every few days, there's going to be something good. Now, I played the idea that Bannon, that Trump is going to, by waging a war with Bannon, that Trump's going to lose his base is absurd. I think that the risk that Trump has here is, you know, wasting precious resources on a stupid and irrelevant person. I mean, you know, you don't want to start, you know, you don't want to bark at something you don't need to bark at. I think that today, though, Trump needed to issue a strong rebuke and denial. So I think that this Trump statement actually is very good because it's exactly what he needed to make. And he, by the way, he'd be screwed either way. If he made the statement and got a lot of blowback for it. But I think that if he hadn't made the statement, everybody would be running around even more so saying, well, this must be true, must be true, must be true. And there's one thing that Trump is, and everybody says Bannon's a fighter. Trump's a fighter. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's the bare-knuckle guy here is not Bannon. Trump is a brawler. And one thing Trump learned, I've said this over and over again, from watching, you know, George W. Bush get knocked around like a rope-a-dope, is you fight back. When they come at you with dirt, with damaging stuff, you fight back. And if anything, Trump's instinct occasionally drives him to go overboard. So we'll see in the coming days and weeks if he takes it overboard. In my opinion, he's nowhere near overboard yet. This required a strongly worded, acute response. And he delivered that. Ari Fleischer has something to say about this. I think it's very pithy, and I'll share this with you when we come back after the news. After this break. Just a break. Sam Rozovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Hi, Sam Rozovsky here for my lawyer, my friend, sweet James Bergner. Now, listen, if you, for example, are over at my house, and you open the door and my two little dachshund long hair puppies come attacking you and think that maybe your ankle is their favorite chew toy. Well, listen, you're going to need representation because, well, you know, you might be bleeding, you might be there, whatever. Car accident, truck accident, motorcycle accident, grotesque puppy mauling, whatever it is that afflicts you. You got to have the right lawyer in your corner. You do not want to go at it alone. You don't want to talk to me or my homeowner's insurance or my car insurance. You don't want to deal with those people because we're all out to screw you. Get sweet James Bergner to protect you, protect your rights, and get you the resolution that you deserve. Call him. It's easy. 800-881-2021. He's got a great team of people standing by. He's an easy guy to talk to. They're all easy. They're all highly professional, helpful, and will take care of you. 800-881-2021 or visit sweetjames.com. Sam Rozovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And we are having lots of fun here. Oh, Ari Fleischer, you know, he was Bush's press secretary for a number of years. I think maybe the first 4 years during Bush's first term. And he well, he was on with Fox News earlier today, Dana Perino, talking about the Bannon, the Bannon blowback, the statement that Trump gave. And I described it as searing. Here is what Fleischer says about Trump's statement.
That is a 2x4 to the head of Steve Bannon. You know, I've watched this business now for some 30 years. I remember when George Stephanopoulos got in big trouble with his boss, Bill Clinton, when Scott McClellan mm-hmm. got in big trouble with our boss, George W. Bush. I have never in my life seen a reaction like this. And it's very Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump just blistered Steve Bannon. And Dana, here's what I think happens next. Steve Bannon is going to deny what has been written about in this book. And Bannon then is going to say Michael Wolff made it up. Then it's going to go to Wolff, and Wolff is going to have to show a tape recording or proof of it.
Bingo! And he may not have it! I got another... Well, you think it's just one magazine. No, he's had a number of run-ins. I went all the way back in 1998. There's a... This is archived. I know it's not from the deep web. I didn't have to use any Bitcoin to buy this, but but there's an old blog called Brill's Content, and it reviewed certain publications of the time, and here's just an excerpt from it. When Michael Wolff dissects the personality of an unnamed AOL executive in his book Burn Rate, the readers surely wonder who he's talking about. And he goes on to say that he basically details this guy. The executive is portrayed here. I'll read it exactly. The executive portrayed as a tough talking, recovering cocaine addict with fidelity issues, cheats on his wife, who wears dark cashmere suits and half boots and loves vintage Mustangs. Think that's pretty specific? Well, guess what? It's a composite. There isn't an actual one person. And it goes through this and it very, very meticulously documents it. Wolf says he was portraying a specific AOL executive, but would not name him. I did not, this is his quote, I did not want to make this an issue of this particular person. Sketch. Very sketch, as young people would say. So anyway, he may go out. Bannon may deny that. And who knows? But some of it's so specific. I wouldn't be surprised if some of it was true, if some of it's embellished. You know, a yarn is always spun from some kernel of truth. But for all of the libs out there right now rejoicing that this is it, Bannon, yes, we got him. You know, Bannon's going to tell, I hate to break it to you, Bannon, very different story that somebody is leaking to a reporter. That is a very different environment than talking under the penalty of perjury to a grand jury. You understand the difference? It's kind of a big difference. And by the way, you remember when Bannon finally got shown the door? You know, we heard that General Kelly, this is it. We got to get this guy out of here or I'm done. And Trump wisely listened to Kelly. Okay. What happened to the leaks from the White House? What happened to all those damaging stories? Poof. They disappeared into thin air. And you don't need to look, you don't need to read a book to figure it out. You know that. You know it because you're alive and have ears and eyes. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. There is perhaps a developing revolution underway in Iran. Last 2 weeks, protests have broken out all over the country. One particularly striking video clip, there's a young woman who has defied the order to wear a burqa standing up on some sort of a fire hydrant or an elevated place in a city square and is waving a banner and has removed her burqa, right? And very inspiring. Now, number of deaths in the country. The regime is caught completely just flat-footed on this thing. And my observation of this, well, first of all, I was struck, and I don't have it here in front of me, but this is, I know one thing that Trump did right away was tweet his support to the protesters. Now, this is extremely crucial because I know this, having many times talked to my parents over the years about their experiences living in a despotic, closed dictatorship. Okay, this is where they grew up. And every time, you know, there was any hope of perhaps some sort of an uprising, I mean, the first thing you want is the support of the United States. The United States, we, you and I, and most importantly, our president, our government, is a symbol of, is a beacon of hope. When people complain to my mom, I remember my mom, remember the Iraq War, the Iraq invasion. My mom went to work the next morning and somebody was, you know, complaining to her about how, what are we doing? We're invading a country. And she goes, well, when I was a girl, I dreamed every day that the Americans would show up and invade my country. It kind of shut them down. So when Trump tweeted his support and has openly said, "Yeah, I hope these students are successful, and you know, I hope that these people finally overthrow this despotic regime," I want you to understand something, that it's calculated, okay, and it's important. And so when the media responded with a predictable cacophony of just, how could he do this? How can Trump do this? How can he meddle? It's unwise. And I counted no fewer than four Obama-era, former Obama-era staffers who got up and, you know, made various statements on MSNBC, CNN, et cetera, condemning Trump. These people have it all wrong. Now, I also want to point out another thing. Have you seen these statements that are periodically put out by Netanyahu condemning Iran? Netanyahu is kind of it always looks like he's on a webcam video because he's in his office. It's all very, you know, intimate. And Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel and a close ally of President Trump, gets up and he always says one very important line in every one of those videos. He always says, "Our quarrel is not with the Iranian people. It's a specific message to those people out there that are protesting right now the regime. Our quarrel is not with the Iranian people. Our quarrel is with the government." And it's exactly right. The Iranian regime is a despotic hellhole of an institution that needs to be quashed. And I saw somewhere, I noted earlier, before all this was breaking out, that there is a reported pact between us, between the Trump administration and between Netanyahu and Israel, to take out top Iranian generals and basically to wage, you know, a covert war using Israel. And we're going to turn a blind eye to it, and et cetera, et cetera. And it was put out there in the news as, oh, no, what's Trump doing? It's going to start World War III. It's brilliant. By the way, I predict that someone deliberately leaked that in order to freak them out. So it's coming from them and from all sides. And this is how you topple a regime. You can do it without expending any real resources. That's smart. All right, when we come back, the Trump tweet that ended them all against North Korea. You got to listen to what I have to say about this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back right after the news.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome to the program, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We are making radio great again, the voice of reason, the voice of freedom. And we are, well, we're plowing right ahead. Let me tell you what one of the big news stories is going to be in 2018. And I'm going to get to the North Korea stuff. It's very important. So stay tuned. But I think one of the big news stories of this year is going to be immigration. And especially for us here in California, this is big news because Governor Brown, who, by the way, I mean, he's already sort of a political eunuch, right? I mean, we know that it's not like he's going to become president, right? Governor Moonbeam, he's got nothing left after this. This is his last and final opus. But what he is relishing being the the resistor in chief to Trump. I don't know if you saw this. There were a number of joke signs that went up around the California border crossings. You know, when you drive from Arizona or from Nevada into California, you've got the whole welcome to California. The poppy is our state flower, et cetera, that kind of stuff. And they've added little things in there, sanctuary state, and then ridiculous slogans underneath it. They make it clear that it's a joke, that it's some very, very pro-Trump and anti-Jerry Brown person putting the sign up. When Robbie first sent me the article, of course, I didn't notice the joke underneath it. This is a lesson to all of you. Always read everything. I tell you this, but I don't practice it. I usually do. I just didn't that one time. And I got really upset. I thought that California actually put up signs because I would believe it. Our state is so ridiculous that I would actually believe that we would put up a sign saying that we're a sanctuary state. I go to LAX, by the way, and see if at Bradley Terminal they've put up a picture of Trump yet. I don't think they have. I think they took Obama's picture down. But my parents were just coming back from Europe, and they swear to me that there's no Trump up. So anyway, but I think this is going to be a big story, and especially you're probably here's what everybody's wondering. Is this going to be a showdown? Right. Are we on one hand? We've got the Trumpster who the left has painted, I think, sort of as this, you know, this dog catcher, you know, is going to go around with a net, basically plucking illegals off the off street corners wherever he can find them. Going to the corner rotisserie mat, picking up illegals. And Jerry Brown, the defender of the underdog, of the poor and working, hardworking immigrants that have come to this country. And so what's the real scoop? What does sanctuary state actually mean in practice? And in practice, the biggest thing this means is that local law enforcement, under this law here in California of being a sanctuary state, local law enforcement cannot cooperate with ICE in detaining or further placing immigration holds or turning over people who have been arrested for other crimes, right, to immigration officials. There's a lot of nonsense is said on TV about this. The biggest nonsense argument is, whoa, this sanctuary state thing, this isn't big news, right? The apologists say, this isn't big news. It's not the job of local police to enforce immigration laws. That's the Fed's problem. Our job is to investigate local crimes. Well, that's true. But let's say you arrest a gangbanger, right? This guy's a, you know, Mexican national. He's in the country illegal, and you arrest him for a gun crime. Now, I don't know where you stand on this. I don't want to be racist or anything. But that dude is not the good immigrant that everybody's talking about. That is not, you know, your housekeeper that just got, you know, arrested at the bus stop. Coming home from a long day work. It's a gangbanger with a gun, you know, and he's arrested for a crime that, you know, or whatever. OK, not I understand he's not convicted yet. And I get that. But he's had we'll call it negative law enforcement contact. And in my book, that ain't good. Like, it's not good. So he got arrested and he's there in jail. And now Governor Brown says you can't relay to ICE that he's an illegal immigrant, when this is a person that under federal law shouldn't be in the damn country to begin with. So I'm kind of not lost here, because I totally understand the logic. To the Democrats, these are voters. Gobble, 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 gobble. These are voters. These are, ladies and gentlemen, the base of the Democratic Party. Oh, am I going to get flagged? Yeah, I'm going to get flagged for that. Phone number 800-222-5222. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Bring it in. Bring it in, people. But I am going to tell you, this is the when they frame this as, well, this is not the role of law enforcement. Cooperation with federal law enforcement is a role. And by the way, the critical thing here is that if ICE is out to catch the bad illegals, if we say that, you know, that we want ICE to prioritize the deportation of naughty illegal immigrants over law abiding illegal immigrants, then don't we want to make, where is it better, by the way, for that ICE enforcement officer to make the arrest? Is it at a county jail, or is it in their house or out on the street somewhere where that person is far more likely to resist, to shoot, to perhaps kill and injure federal agents, kill and injure bystanders, civilians, citizens? Right? This is nuts. This is the legacy of this BS California obstruct Trump sanctuary state policy. And the number one question that I have, and I have it put out to everybody, is what can what can Trump do about it? And I actually think that they can start arresting. This is controversial, right? But I actually think they have grounds to arrest state officials that are active in the obstruction of federal law and the obstruction of justice. And the feds just have they can do that. Now, is Trump actually going to storm the governor's mansion and arrest Jerry Brown? Would that be amazing or what? Sorry, I'm fighting this cold and my sinuses are just, now everybody's sick right now, I know. So if I sound a little off to you, that's what's going on here as I'm struggling to breathe. Knock, knock, who's there? Jerry Brown in his underwear. We're coming to get you. Coming to take me away, hee hee, ho ho, ha ha. I mean, I'm loving how it's playing out in my mind. I think we need to be realistic. Probably not. But can it happen? And the answer is yes. And I will also tell you another thing. Where Jeff Sessions lacks backbone when it comes to this Trump-Russia probe where he just folded like a house of cheap cards, I'm telling you, Jeff Sessions and immigration are like peanut butter and jelly. Jeff Sessions is absolutely devoted to this issue. Now, who is he? He's the attorney general, right? So kind of he's the nation's top cop. So when I tell you that I think immigration is going to be a big deal, I'm telling you it is. And it has nothing to do with Congress because this is something that Trump can do unilaterally. The laws are already on the books. The laws have just simply been ignored by past administrations, Republican and Democrat alike. Now, yes, to date, year to year, first year to first year, Trump has deported less people than Obama. No one wants to talk about that, right? That's an inconvenient truth, so we're going to throw that out the window. But I do think Trump is real. So can he, by the way, can he get his wall? That takes Congress. Can he go in and actually begin arresting California officials that are obstructing justice? Absolutely. Is he going to address Governor Brown? No. But some low-level officials? Yeah. I predict it. And in fact, no, I'm not just pulling this out of my hat. I think we got acting ICE director. He's going to be sworn in here. Acting ICE director Thomas Homan talking with when was this? This was on Sunday, wasn't it? With Neil Cavuto. Anyway, Homan, here's what he says about sanctuary cities and about officials obstructing the law. Very specific.
For these sanctuary cities that knowingly shield and harbor an illegal alien in their jail and don't allow us access, that is, in my opinion, a violation of 8 U.S.C. 1324. That's an alien smuggling statute. I've asked the Department of Justice to look at this. Are these sanctuary cities, can we hold them accountable? Are they violating federal law? So there's more to come on that. That's certainly an angle
we're looking
at. What did
they do just that? What do you do?
I think we charge some of these sanctuary cities with violating federal law. We got to take these sanctuary cities on. We got to take them to court, and we got to start charging some of these politicians with crimes.
Whoa. Now, he's not pulling this out of thin air. Acting ICE Director Thomas Homan is not just saying, yeah, I think we're just going to maybe charge some things. He's not shooting from the hip. This, I guarantee you, is a reflection of real conversations, and my guess is decisions, not just conversations, but decisions that have been made inside the White House and inside the office of the Attorney General. And there's no recusal going on here. Jeff Sessions is the ICE enforcer in chief. In the Senate, he was the number one hawk when it came to illegal immigration. So This is a hell of a showdown that's brewing. And California, you know, what does Trump think? He's going to lose California in 2020? That's not going to happen. So anyway, Acting ICE Director Thomas Homan talks about increasing California presence. Listen to this. This is all also going to be very relevant to us.
You got a state of California that wants to put politics ahead of public safety, ahead of officer safety. What they've done is force my officers to arrest dangerous criminals on their turf, in their homes, in their place of business, rather than arresting them in the safety and security of a county jail. It's ridiculous. If he thinks he's protecting the immigrant community, he's doing quite the opposite, because if you think ICE is going away, we're not. There's no sanctuary from federal law enforcement. Matter of fact, we're in the process now. I'm going to significantly increase our enforcement presence in California.
You know, this is all very reminiscent of George Wallace and the civil rights movement, right? You had the governor down in the South saying, screw you, feds. We're going to continue discriminating against black people. There's nothing you can do about it. Do you know how that all went down? Guess who showed up? The federales. They showed up. And guess who lost that showdown? Wallace did. It's not going to end well. What do you hear in this guy's voice? Do you hear resolve, or do you hear like, well, we sure hope that they're going to, you know, reconsider it? No. If he thinks, right, this is, he's referring to our Governor Moonbeam. If he thinks ICE is going away, we're not. There's no sanctuary from federal law enforcement. As a fact, matter of fact, we're in the process now. I'm going to significantly increase our enforcement presence in California. Hey, you know what, California? You think you're a sanctuary city? You can think you can thumb your nose at Donaldus Maximus, a.k.a. Donaldus Magnificus? No, you cannot. And this is pure political grandstanding. And the true impotence of the California left-wing nuts that run this poor state into the ground year after year is going to be on full display. And I am delighting in it. This is epic. I get the popcorn going. I'm going to love this show. And, you know, I'll tell you, for every one of you that think that this is an inhumane thing to say, and one of my greatest things that just bother me to no end about churches and religion, Mormons and Catholics in particular, their obsession with harboring illegal immigrants. The problem with this is encouraging people to cross the border illegally is so reckless and shows so little regard for their safety and their welfare. It's abhorrent. And that's what Republicans, that's what Democrats, that's where so many religious leaders totally lose me. Because by rolling out a welcome mat, putting up a sign, whether it's fake or not, saying, hey, we're, you know, sanctuary state, here you go, come on in, everything's good. Come on in, enjoy our state, we're not going to come after you, we're going to, now what does sanctuary mean, right? I'm going to protect you against evil, bad Trump, because he's a racist. It just encourages people to come. And I, you know, the whole other argument here is a financial one. And by the way, who should our state represent? I kind of think that as a taxpayer, the state ought to be representing me, right? I understand that. I get that. Yeah, they're paying tax. Of course, taxes are being paid by illegals with holdings on fake Social Security numbers and a great cash economy. But they're paying sales tax and that type of thing. I get that. But it's nothing like what I'm paying in property taxes and income taxes and everything. So anyway, more on this when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We had Jerry in L.A. call, and what he wanted to say, we lost him. But what he wanted to say, and this is, he's absolutely right. This is why I'm telling you. Too bad you left us, because the idea was if illegals are here, he's refuting that if illegals are here for Dems to vote for the Democrats. They're here to work for the Republicans. Both sides need the illegals. And you're right. Yes, exactly. This is why the Chamber of Commerce is decidedly 110%, if there were such a thing, devoted, right, to any immigration and anything that would absolutely resemble in any way immigration enforcement. Big business needs cheap labor. And by the way, there's a misconception about this. well, Sam, these big companies, they don't all hire illegal immigrants. This is nonsense. You're right. They don't. Many of them, you know, are forced into, oh, you get these larger companies and they have to play things a little more by the book. Let me tell you, though, they benefit from illegal immigration even if they don't hire a single illegal immigrant. And do you know why? It's simple economics. I know they don't teach that in school anymore. It's all about, you know, fuzzies and felt rooms and safe rooms and whatever nonsense they teach at universities. But anyway, economics, back when I went to college, this is what it was. Economics, when you have more of something, it costs less. When you have less of something that is desired, it costs more. And that is true for goods as much as it is for humans. And I'm not talking about slavery here, folks. I'm talking about labor rates. Right now, for example, in the marketplace, in the general marketplace in California, compare two types of professionals. There is a shortage of pilots and a somewhat of a glut of attorneys. Random fact. There's more attorneys in the marketplace than the market wants, and there's fewer pilots. Let's pick two things at random. This is why pilots are getting better salaries right now, starting salaries, than lawyers. Do you know that? It's simple economics. Society needs both, but only as much, and they just don't have enough of one. So it's driving up prices. So when it comes to labor, right, if suddenly millions and millions of people are coming in each year and being added to the labor pool for blue-collar work, what does that do for all wages? It doesn't mean that just the illegals are cheap. It means that everybody's labor rates go down. And yeah, the illegal rate, if there's somebody's getting paid a cash under the table, it might be a little bit lower. But the function of it, if a laborer could, you know, if he was worth or she was worth $25 an hour, and suddenly you've that market there, wherever it is, that town suddenly has 100 more people in it that are willing to take $10 in cash. What does it do to the legal rate? Probably drops it to 15, be my guess, give or take. But that's a significant drop. It's a significant drop. 17, 18, I don't know. Huge drop. Think that makes a difference for that family? And this is why, by the way, this is why big labor, right? Labor unions who have been the bank, what's the bank in Harry Potter? What's that place called? That's how I picture them. It's a funny name. Anyway, the unions have been the bank for the Democratic Party from day one. Gringotts, that's it. The Gringotts, right? And I picture them like that. You know, the AFL-CIO. I picture them like those trolls at Gringotts. You know, all right, Hillary, what are you going to do for us? Okay, Obama, you want our money now, which are you getting? It's really like that. But people in Washington are telling me, you know, the unions are kind of over the Democrats. They don't like Trump, but they love where he's going with this immigration thing, because what is it going to do for their rank and file members? Wages will go up. And that actually is a functionally a good thing. You got to balance. This is why you have an immigration policy. You figure out how much immigrants a country can absorb. You don't just open the door, fling it open, and say, everybody come in. It doesn't work. Sorry. All right. We got the news up next with John Wolf, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 North Korea. I promise I'm getting to it. Don't go anywhere.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the phone number, sam@samnation.com. We're back from the break. First show here of the new year. And anyway, here we go. Let's do this. North Korea. A lot has been done a lot has been done and said about the tweet that Trump set out about the nuclear button. Now, this all has to do with this New Year's speech that Kim Jong-un, a.k.a. Mop Top, gave from Pyongyang, the capital of North Korea. Now, this speech, he does one every year, and he addresses the entire General Assembly. And you should see these people sitting there. I mean, they're so terrified. I mean, he killed his own uncle, I think, with a mortar round. So everybody's freaked out about this guy. And he gives this speech, and they're all the generals are there and the Politburo members and everybody's there. And here's what happens. He gives the speech, and for the first time, he's not in his Mao, you know, pajama uniform. He's not in the black, you know, thing with the buttons that go up the middle. Instead, he's wearing a gray suit. He's got a white shirt and a gray tie. Now, an enormous amount, even before the Trump tweet, an enormous amount of hubbub went around this whole deal because the media said that you've got this guy now who appears to be conciliatory. He appears to be reaching out to the West. And they talked about portions of the speech. In one part, he's actually musing about maybe sending a delegation to the South Korea Winter Olympics that are coming up, that we are maybe considering not even joining and going to for fear that we might, you know, be at war with them. So I'm going to send some people down there. And this is the conciliatory gestures. And my very first thought I had when I saw the picture of him in that suit, trying to look Western, is I thought, here's a guy who's a little bit scared. Here's a guy who wants to back away from conflict. Here's someone who is trying to bridge some gaps with the West. Because, you know, these dictators, dictators love uniforms. I got to tell you this. This is very important. Dictatorships need to rely on military power. And military power flows from some form of uniform, right? You remember Idi Amin? In Africa, what did he wear? He looked like my Christmas tree. The guy was festooned with every bit of glitter and gold that you could possibly put on a human being. And Saddam Hussein wore a uniform. Hitler wore a uniform. Remember, he just was loved to wear a simple military uniform. This is a normal thing. And for the communists, for the socialist movement that sprung from that goes back to the founding of the USSR, they all wore these pajama outfits. Yeah, Stalin started with it. That was his uniform with the buttons down the front. Mao wore one, et cetera, et cetera. So what does a dictator not wearing a uniform mean? It means, whoa, I'm good here. I'm good. Don't shoot me. You know, I that's really important. It's been lost in all this nonsense back and forth about what Trump tweeted and didn't tweet. So in the speech, the critical thing is that he wore this suit, that I think, in my opinion, was conciliatory. But he also at the same time said, I have a button on my desk. I've got a button on my desk. And the U.S. mainland is within reach of our ICBM nuclear tipped missiles, which may or may not be true. Right. We're within reach of the missiles. But has the warhead been miniaturized, and would it survive in its form re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere? Maybe, maybe not. Trump responds with, my button is bigger than your button. And the world, the media went bonkers. They went nuts. How can he do this? I mean, you know some of the stuff that went out there. Mike Barnicle and John Heilman talking about Trump's stability on MSNBC Morning Joe this morning. This is what they said.
Well, you know, it's uncomfortable to talk about, but he puts stability on the table, I think, as an issue. His stability. The president of the United States, his stability. John?
John?
I agree with Mike. Obviously, we've been talking about the stability of the president and his mental health for a while. That's not a new topic. This re-raises the topic. But we are now at the point where it is the convergence of his inadequacies, his anxieties, his neuroses, his potential mental instability has actually now intersected with the single most dangerous potential issue that faces us all as humans on the planet. So, yeah, it's a little freaky.
It's a little freaky. Now, I have a completely different read on this, as per usual. I don't agree with anything usually at MSNBC, but I have my take on this is that this is classic Trump. There's an element of humor here, but the calculation is to unnerve your opponent. The calculation is reminding him that he got up there, gave his little speech, and Trump's reminding him, you may think you have a missile, you may think you've got a little button there you can push. I could squash you, mother, you know what? I could squash you. And it's true. And despots the world over need to be reminded this. Look, let's just remove Trump from this, remove Kim Jong-un. We go back in history, wouldn't we love? I mean, isn't this what we told Hitler? We could squash you. This is what we told, you know, the Japanese. We can squash you. We said this. Maybe we didn't tweet it, but we didn't have Twitter back then. More on this when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here for my friend, my attorney, sweet James Bergner. This is the guy that you need to call if you've been in an accident, if you've been injured. Give James a call. He's got a great team of people. They will fight for you, okay? You don't want to call the insurance company on your own. You don't want to call the guy that caused the accident. You don't want to deal with them. Trust me, all right? You may think you know what you're doing. You don't. Go to somebody who does this for a living, who does it well, and who's represented literally thousands upon thousands of people and brought their cases to successful resolution. James has, I think they've gotten out $400 million and rising in total settlements and verdicts in the last 13, 14 years. It's just it's staggering, okay? Put that experience to work for you. 1-800-881-2021 is the phone number. Give them a call. People are standing by. Great team. Happy people who are very kind, very professional. They'll talk to you, get the whole scoop. You got it. Easy. All consultations are free. It's not going to cost you anything. And by the way, you don't have to pay him anything until after your case is done, and only if he's collected money on your behalf. How easy is that? 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. So happy to be back live here in the Sweet James studios behind the Sam Nation microphone in our undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. It's been a nice break. It was nice to have some time off. Robbie, did you enjoy some time off? He did. He's nodding. Everything's good. Meanwhile, the world is on edge because Trump is tweeting insults at North Korea's dictator. Interesting observation. I was just speaking about the speech, the long New Year's speech that Kim Jong-un gives every year. He wore a suit, but there's something about it that I think is important, too. The speech was characterized as him being powerful and strong. I'll spare you. I did something that I almost regret now. I watched it in Korean with some really bad live translating going on. I listened to the whole thing. I'm not going to play it for you because it sounds like gibberish unless you're Korean. Doesn't sound powerful to me. And I asked a couple of my Korean friends. I live in Irvine, so we have Koreans here. Does he sound powerful? He doesn't. He sounds scared. You got to take my word for it. Go Google it. Look up the YouTube speech. It's out there, the speech on YouTube. You're not going to understand anything. but he's just speaking like I'm telling you, the guy, I'm sure he's a calculating guy, but he's a young guy. He's a fat little guy. Okay. He's short. He's got a weird haircut. And remember, it's the third generation of a country. He's on top of this little dog pile that's North Korea. And I'm going to point something else out. Remember during the Cold War, what did Reagan do that ultimately precipitated the fall of the Soviet Empire? What was the critical thing that Reagan did? I will tell you this. I think there are two things that Reagan did. One, Reagan initiated and entertained a pretty public arms race with the Soviets. And two, Reagan did not shy away from any rhetoric boasting of America's strength and resolve. Now, what the first thing did, what the arms race did is, and I know this because I have people and family on the inside of and watched this happen, it bankrupted the Soviet Union. Because guess what? I hate to break it to you, unless you're from Berkeley, you know, socialism doesn't work, okay? Communism, the five-year plans, it didn't work. They were poor. They're dirt poor. North Korea is so freaking poor. That one guy that ran across the border, who was like an elite guard in their military, had tapeworms that were like snakes inside of him. Okay? The last meal he had was dry corn, like corn kernels, the stuff that's left in their popcorn bowl when you've eaten all the popcorn. That's what he had in his stomach. Bad stuff. That country is literally starving. Every dollar they don't have is going to building ICBM missiles because he's freaked out over Trump. And you want to feed that. You want to feed it. And the rhetoric helps unnerve them further. Arms race, rhetoric. It toppled the Soviet Union. And that was perceived as a far more formidable foe than some North Korea, you know, hellhole. All right. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KBC.
In a hard-hitting piece of television journalism, MSNBC today added some context to Trump's my button is bigger than your button tweet. Joy Reid, who's filling in for Chris Hayes, said this.
Interesting thought from Donald Trump about the size of his nuclear button and the threat that he just put up against the North Korean leader. Your thoughts?
As we saw all through 2017, men with profound sexual insecurity can wreak a lot of havoc in the lives of women and the lives of their families. But perhaps never have we seen a man whose profound sexual and masculine insecurities are literally threatening to annihilate the planet. I mean, the way he's literally capitalizing in that tweet, his nuclear button. I mean, any psychiatrist or psychologist would have a field day with that. But we all live in a world that could literally be ended in terms of a habitable planet.
Liberals are such idiots. I don't know what else. This is a Freudian read on Trump's tweet. But I'm not even going to touch the sexual stuff. If you want to call me on Love Nation on Valentine's Day and get love advice, you can do that and talk to me about your sexual insecurities. That's fine. But I want to address this fear, this real like fear of a nuclear holocaust. This is exactly why Obama sent a plane load of billions of dollars, right, and whatever it was, in cash to Iran. This is why Obama, George Bush, and Clinton capitulated time and time again to North Korea. This is why we lose and lose our edge routinely, because we have leftists and even Republicans. They're such cowards. You don't peace through strength. How do you prevent? This is exactly why liberals want to end bullying on campuses, By re-educating bullies? No. The way you end bullying at school is you tell your kid, hey, this is a dumbbell. This is what you do with it. Put it in your arm. Flexion extension. Here we go. Boom, boom, boom. And you get stronger. Next time the bully goes and punches you, you punch him back. Next time, the bully won't punch you. Now, you've heard me talk about this, and I know people are aghast because you're not supposed to do that. And if you punch a bully back, everybody gets suspended. And you know what I say as a parent? I don't care. Okay? And that's what I'm saying about this Trump tweet. I don't care. By the way, Kimberly Guilfoyle, speaking of sexual insecurities, I don't think she has any, said this about the Trump tweet.
I kind of like this because it's obviously thrown Kim Jong-un over the edge, and now he's getting a mommy makeover, a little lift and a tuck. And I think it's hilarious because he's feeling insecure about himself because President Trump is unnerving him. He doesn't like it. Psychologically, he's not responding well to it. I mean, I don't have a problem with, President Trump's tweet. I think it's fantastic. I'm glad that somebody's standing up to this guy. This guy has been like an international punk and bully forever, and he wants to threaten everybody with his nukes, and it's about time that somebody stood up to him.
Hallelujah, amen, and exactly what I'm saying here. She's right. And if I can add just a little bit of nuance to this, Trump's playing the role of sort of unpredictable. I'll go where my mood takes me. And this idiot that you heard, his name actually is Anand. I can't even pronounce his last name, but the guy who thinks it's all about sexual insecurities and worried that the planet's going to go into a nuclear holocaust. Right. The reality is that Trump is playing a little bit of the crazy card, but it's backed up. First of all, General Mattis, right? The North Koreans are looking at this and they go, here's Trump. And you know what? We could get under his skin and he might be the kind of guy who gets a bee in his bonnet. If they read the New York Times, I guarantee you the North Koreans are crapping bricks. They are crapping bricks because they see Trump as an irrational actor. And in game theory, if you study this stuff and you understand what that is, an irrational actor is the most frightening opponent to have. And when you have an irrational actor who is backed up by, the biggest military, most powerful military in the world, which, by the way, is led by the most feared Marine general, maybe of all time, Mad Dog Mattis. His name is freaking Mad Dog. That's his nickname. And he's the guy who's in charge of the whole military now. And by the way, he's sitting next to the president. You saw the meeting today at the White House. There's Mattis sitting next to the president. Very important optics, right? Very important. What is the message? The message is, yeah, you've got the crazy guy over there backed up by the totally sane, totally competent, totally on the rails general who has command of this entire military infrastructure. I'm telling you right now, if I were Mop Top in North Korea, I'd be quaking in my boots. And you know what? My guess is that these nukes probably don't work the way as well as they think. And if we want to grab them, now's the time. I think this world would be a better and safer place if we just took care of it. That's just my opinion. But for all of you that think that this is an imminent nuclear holocaust, this kind of posturing actually works. And by the way, I want to make something very clear here. I'm not saying that Trump is an irrational actor. I'm just saying that if the North Koreans read the New York Times or watch MSNBC and listen to Morning Joe, they might think that. And I'm saying that's a good thing. Let them think that, because an irrational actor, an unpredictable actor, is really your most feared opponent. It's very dangerous, right? Think about this. All right. We are off tomorrow night. You can listen to the Kings here. So this is great. The hockey's really great to listen to because you can't see the mullets. You can't see the bad teeth. You just can listen to the great hockey. So that's here tomorrow night. And then we will be back Friday live in studio for a fantastic show. I promise you that. So, see you soon. So happy to be back. I love you all. I'm so grateful for you and all that you do for this program. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.